we'll go ahead and get started. We will say a word of prayer, and then we'll move into the lesson on the night. Father, y'all, we just glorify you on today, and we just exalt you for all that you do. We ask you just to give us understanding on tonight, and with that understanding, we will put it into action, and we just praise you for all that you are and what you do. For us, in the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right. Okay. What I want to do, because there are some things that we're dealing with, and there are some things that we're dealing with that I want to take a closer look at. So we'll go to Acts chapter 15. I'm just trying to, y'all bear with me. I want to go to Acts chapter 15, and the reason why is because I think we're at the time where we need to look at this portion for training school, because I know that it will help us in what we're dealing with for, as far as the series is concerned. I always forget the title. True understanding of the church. I'm going to have to write that down or something, because I just keep forgetting it. But the true understanding of the church, we want to look at Acts 15. We're going to come back to Acts 15 and Sabbath service, but I want to specifically deal with it tonight so that we will start to see, when I mean see, I'm talking about perception, so that we'll start to see the thing that that's going on with the body of Christ today, and to be able to make a distinction. And this is a vital part of the book of Acts in order for us to understand what's going on in what is the vital chapter in the book of Acts to allow us to understand what's going on with the church during this time frame, and it will also give us a better understanding of what's going on with the church today. Like I said, this lesson here will give us a clear understanding of how to preach the gospel effectively, because you have it going on to a certain perspective, but not like what Yah is doing with us with this series of lessons. It's like I said, when he first showed me, and I'm trying to keep from getting ahead of myself. I've talked with Elder a little bit about it, but I'm just trying to keep from getting ahead of myself, because if I do, I'm going to put us at the end of the lesson, and then I'm just going to put us at the end of the lesson before Yah is ready for us to do it. That's why I'm kind of hesitant about discussing a lot of things with you right now. But when we finish... when we finish this series, we will have a clear understanding of the function of the church, the function of the body of Christ, and everything will be in its right perspective as far as the church is concerned. Okay, so Acts 15 verse 1, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised. So when you look at, I'll just read it all. Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses. We understand that's the law. Okay. After the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So when you look at this, when it says certain men, and it says came down from Judea, Judea is in the territory of Judah. And so that territory, Jerusalem is in that territory. So you're looking at you're looking at me, and I'm not going to just say from the tribe of Judah. I'm just telling you where the region is from, because our whole nation was in this region of Judah. We can go look at other scriptures and see where it was not only Judah who came back to Jerusalem, but all of our tribe was represented in Jerusalem. When you go to James, I believe chapter 1, James chapter 1 starts out, and I'll just kind of go there just to show you. James chapter 1 starts out addressing the tribes of Israel. So as you see it, James chapter 1 verse 1 says, James, a servant of Yah and of Jehovah Yeshua, the Mashiach. That's what Christ means, the Messiah. It means Christ. It means Christ the King in a nutshell. So so it says, James, a servant of Yah and of Jehovah Yeshua, Mashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. And so as you see the 12 tribes here, when the book of James was written, it was written, I can't remember the exact year, but it was written in Jerusalem. Okay, it was written in Jerusalem. So as you see this taking place here, it is giving us a clear understanding that even when James had the book of James was written, it was addressed to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so you get some scholars who will say that that the 10 tribes were scattered, and they'll say that the 10 tribes were not in Jerusalem at the time. Where you can look at Acts chapter 1, James chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry, James chapter 1 will show you that that's not the case. All of our tribes were represented in our promised land, I'll just stick with that. They were represented in the promised land. So I just wanted to show you that. And that's James 1, verse 1, the 12 tribes are being addressed. So as you see these men in verse 1, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. So the brethren lets us know, because it's talking about circumcised, that some of these brethren were Gentiles. So you had a mixture of the church, especially when you go back in Acts chapter 2, you see it was the nation of Israel that was in Acts chapter 2. You also see proselytes who was there. Well, when the gospel started being preached, the true gospel of the Messiah started to be preached, you had now, especially from Acts chapter 10, and we're going to see that being addressed in Acts 15. You had Cornelius' house who was addressed, who also addressed the Gentiles. Okay, and so it's vitally important for us to understand that. So these men are Israelites, and what they're doing, they came from Judea, the area of Jerusalem. And they taught the brethren, and they were saying, except ye be circumcised after the law of Moses. Because it is vitally important for us to understand that our nation during this time understood that we were to keep the law. You have to understand it. That's why I wanted to deal with this right now. They understood that you had to keep the law regardless of them being counted among the brethren. You're seeing it here in verse 1. They're being counted among the brethren, but they're still operating within the law. So I'm going to just give you this nugget, and then I'm going to leave it alone for now, and we'll come back and deal with it. And we'll see it as we deal with chapter 15. That's why I want to discuss it tonight. So as we deal with this, we will see that our nation still operates according to the law. That's why they're saying this to the Gentiles. And there is a dissension in verse 2 that happens as a result of it. So, verse 1 again, they come from Judea, and they say to the brethren, or the Gentiles, because it was our custom now to be circumcised. So that wasn't something that was of debate from a perspective of the nation of Israel. We understood that we were to be circumcised, I believe it's after 8 days, am I correct? After 8 days, we as the sons of the nation of Israel would be circumcised. So that was no issue with us. So they're trying to teach the Gentiles some laws as far as Moses is concerned. laws that we have to keep, especially to certain perspectives to this day. Then it says, it goes on to say, you cannot be saved. Wherefore, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. What question? That the Gentiles need to be circumcised. Okay? In order to what? Be saved. So this is the issue what? Of salvation. Okay? They're dealing with the issue of salvation. Now, as you look at it in verse 3, it says, and being brought on their way to the way by the church, they passed through, Phoenix and Samaria. So as we look at Samaria, that's a part of our land. That's where the 10 tribes originally were. So you look at Phoenix, however you want to put it, and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentile. So that lets us know in verse 1, the one that they are talking to, except he be circumcised, is referring to the Gentile. So we know without a doubt that these brethren, or these men in verse 1, are the nation of Israel, and the people that they're saying need to be circumcised or be saved are Gentiles. We see that from verse 1 to verse 3. It says, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that Yah had done with them. Paul and Barnabas does. Now, as we continue on, verse 5 says, but there rose up certain of the Pharisees which believed, they're believers, what? In the Messiah there, saying, this was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Okay? Why? Because the nation of Israel, the Pharisees who are part of the nation of Israel, they understand that, okay, although they believed in the Messiah, they still kept the law. This is one of the biggest issues that's going on with the church today and the truth that's not being taught. Okay? Now, as we continue to deal with this, verse 5, it says, but there arose of certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. Okay? And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. So they come together. Verse 7 says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago Yah made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth, whose mouth? Peter. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Okay, now as we see this here, you go back to chapter 10 and you see where Peter is talking about here. Okay, he's talking about Cornelius in chapter 10. I'm just trying to find some things in chapter 10, so we won't have to spend a whole lot of time here. Will you see here what happened as far as verse 12 is concerned of Acts chapter 10? It says, wherein were all men of four-footed beasts? He has this vision now, okay? He fell in a trance, verse 10. He falls in this trance, okay, verse 10. He falls into the trance. As this trance, because you get now religion that will say, because of this event of chapter 10, that now you can eat anything. I hear a lot of preachers say, well, see, because he says in verse 12, wherein were all men of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. So these were all unclean things. And so the voice comes in verse 13, says, Peter, rise up and eat. Peter says in verse 14, But Peter said, not so, Jehovah, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So we know everything that he's saying eat in verse 12, it is unclean. It's considered common or unclean. So when you look at that, it is something that our nation knew, Peter being a part of our nation, knew that you were not supposed to eat these things. So you would have preachers now that would now leave from this passage, and they would say, see, since John said, don't call, verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what Yah has cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean. So you get some preachers now say, well, Yah has now cleaned all these meat. That means we can eat anything, we can eat pork, we can eat all these different things. This is not what this meant in reference to Peter. So look at verse 16. I'm just skipping through these verses and kind of letting you see them. He says it to Peter again. He says it to Peter again, I believe the third time. Yes, this was done thrice. Okay, three times. Then verse 17 is important to let us know that he's not telling Peter he can eat anything. Because the scripture says in verse 17 now Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean. So Peter knew that Yah wasn't telling him to eat unclean animals. Because he doubted. In other words, he was wondering. He was trying to figure out what the vision meant. Why did Yah tell me three times to rise up and eat unclean things? And then he tells me, when I say I've never eaten anything unclean, he then tells me what I call clean, don't you call unclean. Peter don't understand what it means because Peter knows that Yah is not telling him to break the law as an Israelite. So he knows that. And so as he's dealing with this, and you go and you continue on, I'm just going to skip down. So as you go and you for the sake of time, because I want to be in chapter 15. So as we go and look at, let me see what verse where Peter is looking at it. Verse 34. Peter now understands the vision after Cornelius tells him Verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. You go back to verse 1. Then he's telling him the same thing that happened from verse 1 and those verses that's not too far down from there. He says, I'm taking you faster because we're going to cover this later on in Sabbath service. So Cornelius is explaining to Peter why he was sent to get Peter. After he tells Peter this, Peter now says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that Yah is no respect of person, that I've called clean or uncommon. Don't you call unclean. So Peter now understands that the rise up and eat is in reference to the Gentiles. Not food, so it's not a license for us as Israelites to go eat anything. What Yah did was give Peter an example to prepare his heart to go preach to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile, and his whole household was a Gentile, to now give him an understanding, because our nation didn't deal with Gentiles. We wouldn't deal with them at all. Our Savior even told the disciples, he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 5, specifically verse 5, he tells the disciples, he said, don't go to the Gentiles in a nutshell. He said, for salvation is of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So our nation understood that this in its initial stage was for us as a people. So Peter would not have gone to Cornelius' house if Yah had not taken him into a trance and given him the vision, and then sending him to Cornelius' house. And now in verse 34, Peter is understanding. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive, I now understand what I doubted about as far as the vision was concerned. Now I perceive, I understand, I have understanding now that Yah is no respecter of persons. Why? Verse 35, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. the Gentiles are accepted with us as a nation who were ordained to operate in righteousness. But now, through Christ now, righteousness has been made available to all men through him. Not through the law. The law doesn't make us righteous, but we still have to fall within the guidelines of those laws. Okay? So it is a process. So I'll explain to you a law. Drinking water doesn't make me a righteous man. But the law of drinking water, I have to do in order to stay healthy and keep living. It's not something that determines whether I belong to Yah or not. But Yah has put a law in place that says water is what the majority of your body is made of, and you need to obey that law. And those who don't obey that law, they suffer from not obeying that law. It don't mean they're going to heaven or hell based upon that law, but it does mean that there are consequences that take place for us not obeying the laws of consuming water. You can look at things like that, or laws that's across the board to a certain perspective. They don't determine certain things as far as our salvation is concerned, but there are laws in place that we have to operate in order to experience certain things as far as mankind is concerned. Well, when you look at the law of Moses, the law of Moses was given to us as a nation to follow those laws, statutes, and judgment. And when the millennial reign takes place, all mankind, even Gentiles, will operate within certain perspectives of those laws. Okay? So Peter now understands it, and he says, every nation is in verse 35, but in every nation he that feareth, there's no sex when that's stated, he is anybody, male or female. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Yah. Verse 34. Yah is no respecter of persons. Okay, now when we go back, Elder, can you have some something? Now when we go back to verse 15, we now see that Peter now is starting to remind them of the event that we just read in in Acts chapter 10. Okay, now what verse were we on? Verse 7 says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that how a good while ago Yah made choice among us, that the Gentiles, by his mouth, we just read it in Acts 10, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Okay? Verse 8 says, and Yah, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. The Holy Ghost is for what? Witness. Okay? And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So how does Gentile heart purify? By faith. Okay? Faith comes by hearing by the word of Yah. It works the same way with us, because you go back up and see that all those who believe. So the heart is purified by faith in the Messiah, in the Mashiach, okay? That is the primary focal point. Now, verse 10 says, now therefore, why tempt ye Yah to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? What's the yoke now? Circumcision. Go back up to verse 1. Okay? To put a yoke upon their neck, a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. You see that? We were able to bear. Our nation kept falling, kept stumbling, from falling in line and walking in those laws, statutes, and judgment. We kept falling as a nation. Yah sent the Messiah to redeem us as a nation, okay? So we are redeemed back to Yah through the Messiah, not the law, but because we are the nation of Israel, we have to keep passages of the law, okay? Now, verse 11 says, but we believe that through the grace of Yeshua, Mashiach, we have been saved. Even as they. See, through the grace of him, we are saved. Even as they are. So salvation comes through Christ. No other way. Comes through Christ. No other way. But at the same time, we as a nation, and I'll show you this in the scripture, we as a nation still had to obey the law. So you go back up to verse 1, you see that there are men who come there who are still obeying the law, and at the same time, they still believe in the Messiah. Okay? This is who we are at this point. We're still obeying the law to the best of our ability, and at the same time, we still know that Christ is our Savior. But as the nation of Israel, we worship on the Sabbath. We do all these other things because we still, as a nation, are required to follow facets of the law, but at the same time, we know that Christ is our Savior. The same way as verse 11 says. So the true church has to understand that when it comes to salvation, there is no difference whether it's the grace, whether it's the grace that's upon Israel or the grace that's upon the Gentile. Verse 11 makes that clear. I read it again. But we believe that through grace of Yeshua Mashiach, we shall be saved, even as they. Okay? Then all the multitude kept silent, verse 12, and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Yah had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Yah was working miracles out through the Gentiles by Paul and Barnabas. Now, after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. When you look at hearken unto me, the colon now lets us know what he's referring to. Verse 14, it says Simeon. We understand Simeon is Peter. So it says now, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Peter hath declared how Yah at the first did visit the Gentiles. So when he said at the first, we know we go back to Acts chapter 10. At the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for a name, to take out of the Gentiles. So we can safely say there is a remnant in the Gentiles. Not all Gentiles are believing just the same way as not all Israelites are believing. So as we look at it here, has declared how Yah at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them, to take out of the Gentile. He didn't say his salvation is made available to all Gentiles, but yet there is a people who are going to believe, just like there is a people, as we read, as we deal with this in Sabbath worship, that there is a people of the nation of Israel called the remnant who believe. There were a lot of our nations refused to believe in the Messiah, same way to this day. There are a lot of Gentiles who refuse to believe in the Messiah. Well, Yah will raise him up a people out of the nation of Israel, and he will raise him up a people out of the Gentiles. Those will be the remnant of the kingdom. Those are the remnant people of the kingdom. Okay? So just because somebody's just saying, well, I believe in Jesus, well, there are certain things that have to go with that. Because when you look at it, as we deal with some things, because it says now, when you work the works of righteousness, I can't remember if it was in this verse in chapter 10. It was in chapter 10. It says, work the works of righteousness. So you can't just say, I believe in Jesus and don't work the works of righteousness. Okay? You got a whole lot of people saying they believe in Jesus. Devils believe and tremble, but they don't work the works of righteousness. Okay? So all Gentiles and the nation of Israel who work the works of righteousness, who believe, Yah will set them aside as a remnant of his people. Now, verse 15 says, and to this agree the word of the prophet, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Verse 17, and the residue of men might seek after Jehovah, and all the Gentiles. Now, when you look at the residue of men, that's Israel. The residue of men may seek after Jehovah and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Not all Gentiles will be saved. Not all Israel will be saved. As a matter of fact, two-thirds of Israel is going to be cut off in the future. Our nation always was cut off when disobedience happened, even as far as the wilderness was concerned. Cut them all from ages, I believe, 20 and above or above 20. I think it was 20 and under who went over into the promised land. And a lot of people don't realize that. All those people who came out of Egypt, they died off those 40 years. All the ones who went into the promised land were 20 years old and younger. He cut those off in the wilderness, those 40 years. They may have been older when they went into the promised land, but 20 years and under were the remnant of people who went into the promised land, because he cut the rest of them off within that 40-year time. Okay. Now, verse 18 says, I'll go back to verse 17. It says that the residue of men might seek after Jehovah, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Jehovah, who doeth all these things. Verse 18, known unto Yah, all his works from the beginning of the world. So what did that tell us? Yah always had plans for the Gentiles. Not just Israel. So when you see our brethren standing out on the streets, talking about Yah's going to only save all the Israelites and everybody else going to hell and all this kind of stuff, when you see that stuff, it lets you know that it is going against the scripture. What our father David prophesied this in verse 16. That in the millennial reign, when Yah's kingdom has come, that the nation of Israel will be in that land, you will have Gentiles who will be counted as righteous, among the nation of Israel. Yah had planned this from the very beginning. So when you go back to the very beginning, he wanted to redeem all mankind. He just used the nation of Israel to bring about that promise. Christ is the promise to redeem mankind, all mankind. All mankind. So, but he used our nation as the avenue to bring about the Messiah. He had to come through a nation of people, and he brought them through the nation of Israel. But in the beginning, from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, his plan was to redeem all of mankind, not just the nation of Israel. So when you hear that from these brethren, when you hear that, you're listening to false doctrine. When you hear them say only Israel is going to be saved, that's false doctrine. Okay? Yah's coming back to gather the remnant of his people. And those who cleave to the house of Israel, not those who cleave to the church, those who cleave to the house of Israel through the Messiah, making up the remnant or the church, then that's who is going to be redeemed. Okay? Now, verse 19 says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them. How? By making them be circumcised. Verse 19, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to Yah. You have people who are turned to Yah from the Gentiles. But these are the things that they require them to do. Verse 20, it says, but that we write unto them, who? The Gentiles. That they abstain from pollutions of ours. Y'all see it. Now, when you look at the word pollutions, we'll deal with the definition of the word abstain from. When you look at the word abstain, it means, in a nutshell, just to stay away from, to refrain from, to hold oneself off, stay away from, in a nutshell. Pollutions, when you look at pollutions, it in a nutshell means defilements. Defilements of owls. So he says, stay away from things that's been defiled or awful to owls, just to kind of give you something in a nutshell. This is what Gentiles have to do who are counted in the church. But see, you have the church now who will say, no, we don't, the law has been done away with. No, our apostles are letting us know what the church is supposed to operate, nation of Israel and Gentile. So, verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution unto ours. Don't eat anything that's been off the ours in a nutshell. Now, when you look at from fornication, you can say fornication has to do with sexual sin, but it doesn't make sense when you look at fornication because, when you look at it in a nutshell, it is idolatry. When you look at the word fornication they talk about including idolatry and incest, but it's including adultery. I say I'm kind of strange sometimes. Adultery, which is sexual relationship outside the marriage. So you get people that will call that fornication. But the main focal point here, because when you look at the passage, it is dealing with the stay away from things off the aisles and stay away from idolatry. That's what it's implying. That's what it's implying. Stay away from things off from food that's offered to idols, and then also stay away from fornication. Stay away from food offered to idols, and also stay away from idolatry and from things strangled. I remind you, all these things are in the law. He says, stay away from any foods that's been choked to death. And a lot of things that they kill nowadays, that's exactly what they do. And from the blood. Okay? We were forbidden as a nation to eat blood. Now, Yah is saying through the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that the Holy Ghost is behind this. He's saying these are the things that the Gentiles must do. That's in the law. They don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to go through that process. But according to the law, all these things in the law. Abstain from things off of the aisles. Abstain from fornication. Abstain from things that are strangled. Abstain from the blood. All Gentiles are supposed to do this. So when you get someone who classifies himself as so to speak, a Christian, then when you see them go out and eat meat, and they say, well, I want it medium rare, you can see them cut the meat and the blood is coming out of it, that is against the standards or the order by which the disciples through the Holy Ghost had ordained that the church should operate under. Gentile in the nation of Israel. We were forbidden to do it, and the Gentiles were forbidden to do it also. But you get people saying nowadays, well, no, you can eat anything. So you get them to say, this is what the scripture says that the Gentiles are supposed to do. Verse 21 says, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. Okay? And so Moses is being preached. And so they're saying, in other words, listen to this now, the law is being preached to Gentiles. The law is being preached to Gentiles. So it's not that they're saying that the law has been done away with. It's being preached in the synagogue, but they're saying these are things that they must apply. These are requirements that the Gentiles must apply. So that means that even a Gentile can't turn around and say that the law has been done away with. Don't worry about the Old Testament. It's been done away with because the scripture points out clearly that it was being read even to the Gentiles in the synagogue. And I'll show you this chapter after chapter as Paul is preaching to the Gentiles. Paul is not only preaching to Gentiles in these synagogues, but he's also preaching to our nation. They were having services together. Okay? Now, again, verse 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in every synagogue. I'm going to read it again. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. I think it's the right interpretation that I get. Verse 22 says, Then pleaseth the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Okay? Among the brethren. Verse 23. Just going to move it up. Verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and the elders and the brethren sending greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch. So this letter specifically to the Gentiles. In Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law. to whom we gave no such commandment. They didn't give them. They didn't give the commandments to the Gentiles to keep the law. Why? We as a nation were required to keep the law. Okay? It seemed good unto us, being assembled, verse 25, being assembled with one accord, and saying, chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of Yehoshua Mashiach, Yehoshua Mashiach, verse 26. Verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, which shall also teach you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. So that lets you know this is a spirit now. That's an agreement. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So since it seemed good to the Holy Ghost is requiring the Gentile to obey those four laws. So it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. We're laying a law on you, but this is what we're laying on you. Verse 29. So Gentiles are supposed to obey these four laws. Verse 29. That ye abstain from meat offered to idols. Okay? That's what the pollution means up front, up and above those verses. It's letting us know now. You abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled. And from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, what, in these things, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So the instructions are given to the Gentiles that they are supposed to obey these four laws. Abstain from meat off the house, one, from the blood, two, from things strangled, three, and from fornication, which is really idolatry. Gentiles are supposed to stay away from that. So Gentiles are supposed to stay away from the Christmas tree. Somebody said, wait a minute, what do you mean the Christmas tree? You find it in Jeremiah chapter 10, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 10. I'll show you that real quick. That's idolatry. So as believers, we're supposed to stay away from it. Not just the nation of Israel, but also Gentiles. Now, at Jeremiah 10, I'm just going to take a side note and just show you that this is a heathen practice or Gentile practice that those who are in the church are supposed to stay away from. Jeremiah 10, verse 1 says, hear ye the word which Jehovah speaketh unto you. Stop me, Elder, if you need anything. If you have anything to say. Hear ye the word which Jehovah speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. That thus said Jehovah, learn not the way of the heathen. So what we're about to read is the ways of the heathen. What? Customs of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. Gentiles. That's what heathens are. Same thing. Gentiles. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, because they worship the signs of heaven. They worship the stars, the moon, and the sun. That's what Gentiles did. So he said, don't be dismayed. Don't follow their ways. For the heathen are dismayed at them. When you look at the word dismayed, and like this, certain words you see that you want to pull out, they're terrified of them. Okay, they're prostrate to them. But you look at these definitions for dismayed. So it said the heathen are dismayed at these things, at them. Verse 4 lets you know that. Verse 3, I'm sorry. That you know their custom. For the customs of the people, who? Gentiles, are vain. Worthless. They're useless. Now it explains one of their customs. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with an axe. How do they cut down Christmas trees? With an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails. How do Christmas trees put up? Nails. Some form they're better with technology, but back in the old day we used to get them out of the wood and nail that little X looking thing underneath it in order for it to stand up. So we used to do it back in the day. Verse 4, they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not. You don't want them falling over, right? They are upright as palm trees. You know how palm trees go to Florida? See those palm trees, them Christmas trees, straight as on the way. This is a custom that they did back in Jeremiah's day. And he told our nation, he said, don't learn the ways of the heathen now. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must need be born. Have you ever seen a Christmas tree moving around? They need to be carried. Okay? They need to be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. He said, it's a tree that's been cut out. It's just no use. But yet people worship them. You have people's days or their Christmas or December 25th is spoiled based upon what's under that tree. Idolatry, that's what it is. Based upon whatever that tree. And y'all are saying the thing can't do you any evil and it can't do you no good. Verse 6, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Jehovah, y'all are saying, don't compare that. When you do that, you're comparing that to me. Go back to the law. He said, go back to the law. We just go there. That's why I'm going to read verse 6 again, for as much as there is none like unto me. So what is he saying? You're comparing this tree that you cut out of the forest to me. Idolatry. Okay? You can go to Exodus chapter 20. He says, have no other gods before me, side by side, equal with me. What is Christmas supposed to be celebrating? The birth of Christ. What is beside it? An idol that people put presents under. It's idolatry, y'all. And so what you have to understand when you look at Christianity today, what they have done is taken heathenistic, idolatrous practices, the customs of the heathens, and incorporated into the church in order to gain those heathens. We're not supposed to do that. So as you look at this now, this is something that Yah told our nation not to do. And when you go back to Acts 15, again, verse 20, it says, but we write unto them that they abstain from pollution. No, let's skip down because we've already dealt with that. Was it 34, wasn't it? Verse was it? Verse 29. But we'll start at verse 28, since it's the Holy Ghost. So I want to make it clear that these instructions that's being given to the Gentile, the Holy Ghost is involved. So the Holy Ghost is a witness that this is true, that Gentiles are supposed to follow these four laws. Okay? Again, verse 28 says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meat, offered to owls, and from blood. The life is in the blood. That's why we're forbidden from. That's why the scripture says that Abel's blood cried out from the ground when Cain killed Abel. The scripture said his blood cried out from the ground because the life is in the blood. And so Yah don't want us dealing with blood, consuming blood. Okay. And so it again said, ye abstain from meat offered to owls, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, which is idolatry, from which if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Now we understand why the modern day church is not doing well, because we're not staying away from these things. The same way as the heathens practice do, you have Gentiles now who have come into the body, who believe in Christ, as they say, but they still operate in idolatry or fornication. They still operate in idolatry. I keep saying I get them mixed up sometimes. Or I don't get them mixed up. I just say them together sometimes. I say idolatry and idolatry. But it's idolatry, okay? Now, verse 30 says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, what multitude? Gentiles. They delivered the epistle. This is the epistle. So what we're reading is the epistle. Okay? which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. They rejoiced for it. They were glad about it. Okay? They were glad about the consolation. And so when we look at it in a nutshell, we're starting to now uncover some things to see what the problem is with the church today. The church is not following the doctrines of the apostles. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow the doctrines of the apostles. We're going to teach it the way, we're going to teach the scriptures the way that they taught the Messiah and the way that they taught the church how to operate. And when Gentiles come into this church, they will be taught these laws. These four laws. This is what you have to do as a Gentile. You can't jump over into Romans now, Romans chapter 3, and just say, well, you know, I'm saved by grace. Yes, you are. We're all saved by grace. There's no one who can come to the Messiah or come to Yah without coming through the Messiah. So, yes, we're all saved by grace. But at the same time, we all have a responsibility once we're saved by grace. And these are the four laws that you have to operate in. You want to operate in His righteousness. It has been established in the church. We have to do these things. Okay, this is what has to be taught to Gentiles who come into the body to be established as a remnant of people that Christ is coming together in the last days. Okay, and so I wanted you to see that by looking at Acts 15, so that when we start coming back up to these chapters dealing with dealing with the book of Acts, once we get to chapter 15, you'll see it. You see how the church is operating. You will see that there were always, pretty much as you read the book of Acts, that they were the nation of Israel as well as Gentiles who were in these churches. And there was always issues that was happening because you had Gentiles who were starting to believe. You had Gentiles who were believing. You had Israelites who were believing. You had some Israelites who were still going to the synagogue on the Sabbath that were not believing. That's the issue that was going on in the church. They would look at Paul and say, man, I'm trying to get ahead of myself a little bit. They would look at Paul and say, why are you saying these things? Why are you teaching our nation? Paul wasn't sent to our nation. Paul was preaching to Gentiles, but our nation was in the midst of it. And that's what the problem was. The nation was saying no. So now you got the church nowadays who is saying, okay, all that stuff has been done away with. All you have to do is believe in the Messiah, and everything is fine. No, we got to stay within the doctrine that the apostles teach. And we're going to look at it and see that although the apostles... although the apostles knew that Christ was the Savior, they still operated according to a law. I'm going to show you this throughout the book of Acts. This is what the problem is with the church. That's why there's no power in the church. I'm going to say this and then I'm closed. And I'll remember, if you have anything, just stop me before I close. This is why these things are happening. This is why these things were happening during this thing. I'm going to read Acts chapter 3. And then I'm gonna stop. Now, Acts chapter 3. This is why you're seeing the power in Acts chapter 3. They're teaching the doctrines of Christ through the witness. They're teaching the doctrine of Christ as a witness by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna say it again. They're preaching the doctrines of Christ as a witness through the power of the Holy Ghost. One more time. They're preaching the doctrines of Christ as a witness through the power of the Holy Ghost. When we preach through the power of the Holy Ghost, the true message of Christ, this is what happens with the church. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer. What did Peter and John do? Went up in the temple at the hour of praying. Operating within the laws of our nation. Okay? Now, our prayer being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. He was someone who who was not able to walk, and he was basically in the shell begging for some money or whatever he could get. Look what Peter says in verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was looking, thinking they were going to give him some money or something. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Yeshua, Mashiach of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yah. When we line up with the apostles, we will see this result in Acts chapter 3. The reason why you're going to see this kind of power in the church is because people are trying to use the witness or the gospel to make money, to get them bigger houses, to get them bigger cars, to get them all the toys, as I like to say, candy, cookies, and donuts. Everybody is trying to use the Messiah's message as a method for selfish gain. That's why there's no power in the church. When we line up with the doctrine of the apostles and teach the Messiah the way that they taught him, and get the Gentiles to line up with the four laws that has been given to them as a nation of people coming into the kingdom, we will see this kind of power. Signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Signs and wonders will follow. So I just wanted to show you that, and that's the reason why you don't see these things happening in the church pretty much today, is because, again, you have the church not operating just like the apostles operated. At this ministry, we're going to line up with the doctrines of the apostles. We've been doing it for a period of time. That's why he took us back and started having us to deal with the Old Testament first. And as we got an understanding of it, I taught certain things, Elder taught certain things. As we start to get an understanding of these things, y'all said now they're ready. Since they've gotten the understanding of the old, the same way Peter, Paul, all of them knew the law. Because we understand the law, now we're able to now get in the New Testament, and we're able to teach it from the perspective of how it should be taught. Okay? And that's what he's getting us ready for. He's making a clear distinction of what belongs to him and what does not, by showing signs and wonders with the witness of who the Messiah really is. That's what he's getting ready to do with us. That's what he is doing with us. That's why we teach and deal with things the way we do. Okay? Any questions, comments? We good? Okay, let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for just another facet of understanding. Just continue to lead and guide us in all truth. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.